Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Progressive American. I'm Connor, back with another morning podcast about the week's news from a progressive perspective. Welcome back to the show. It is October 16th, 2021, and today we are talking about how AT&T has funded OAN, Steve Bannon's defiance of the January 6th Commission, and Ron DeSantis' threats to sue the Biden administration. With that out of the way, let's jump into the news. In media news, Reuters reports that AT&T is providing nearly 90% of OAN's funding. Robert Herring, the CEO and founder of the far-right news organization, testified that AT&T was responsible for the creation of OAN through its executives. In his testimony, Herring said, "They told us they wanted a conservative network. They only had one, which was Fox News, and they had seven others on the left-wing side. When they said that, I jumped to it and built one," end quote. In his deposition, Herring further explained that he was offered $250 million from AT&T executives for the project. The fact that a major company like AT&T, which also owns CNN's parent company, is responsible for OAN's existence is insane. This is the same news network that made up conspiracy theories about Roy Moore's opponents and has lied about UK's crime rates and much, much more. And this is what I mean when I say that the true media bias isn't liberal or conservative. It's corporate. AT&T and other companies are more than willing to poison the well with explicitly partisan news sources if it gets viewers, no matter the consequences to the American political system. The same people who own CNN's parent company are also the main source of revenue for one of the most insane channels in modern media. With all this interconnected money and news, I can't help but feel as though there is no reason that these companies can keep control of our media system, especially when they continue to promote the worst and most destructive decisions possible. If an organization has a degree of ownership in a news network that skews one way and then simultaneously creates an even more extreme opposite network, that is not balance. That is a company intentionally creating conflict because they think it will make money. It seems to me that we need to have some form of non-profit-oriented media, one that isn't out to make a lot of money, but is instead focused on maintaining a degree of decent journalism. Part of the reason I like NPR, and I've said this before, is because it isn't driven by the same profit motive that CNN or Fox or OAN are. And I don't want to come out here just saying, like, don't trust the media, because that's pretty much every political pundit's go-to response. It's a hackish thing. But at the same time, there is clearly a systemic problem with the way media is owned and controlled in America today. This is fundamentally an issue of systems, of laws, and the way we handle media ownership. I've written before about the dangers of media consolidation along corporate lines, but unless we do something to actually stop it besides doing what I'm doing now, we're never going to see real change. So there needs to be an effort to, in my opinion, prevent this corporate consolidation and control. Otherwise, we're just going to have more and more partisan channels that aren't actually dealing with the people's needs and well-being. It's just going to be more nonsense, more fighting, more hackishness. On another note, we turn to the January 6th insurrection and the commission that came with it. Trump allies are struggling to deal with the January 6th commission, it seems, as Roll Call reports that Steve Bannon, a former advisor to Trump and host of the War Room podcast, is likely facing charges for his unwillingness to comply with congressional subpoenas. Bannon, who is claiming executive privilege, is one of several former Trump officials who are facing subpoenas from the commission, including former advisor Kash Patel. However, Bannon is in a precarious position, unlike the others. The Select Committee is now proceeding with plans to hold him in contempt of Congress, meaning that he could face criminal charges for refusing to testify. Those charges, if reviewed by the Justice Department and confirmed to be evidence of criminality on Bannon's part, could be used against him and result in his arrest. Now, I bring this up not just to gloat at the fact that Bannon has really fallen from grace. I bring this up because Trump himself has also faced similar issues. In August, Trump tried to defy the commission's demands for documents from the National Archives that would explain Trump's behavior leading up to the January 6th insurrection. Now, Trump tried to argue that he had executive privilege and therefore didn't have to comply with the commission's demands. But because executive privilege only applies to when the president is in power and what directly affects his duties, Biden and other officials had no reason to accept this, and they didn't. They refused to defend the argument of executive privilege in court. And because of this, the administration now is stepping back and letting the commission get access to these documents and, by extension, investigate Trump's behavior as well as the behavior of his allies. And if that's anything to gauge on executive privilege claims, it means that Steve Bannon will also be in trouble because he is no longer part of any administration in the executive branch and therefore has no right to claim an executive privilege case. So, what we actually have here is a bunch of people who are trying to either avoid getting in trouble and are testifying or complying with subpoenas, or they're doing what Bannon and Trump are doing, make nonsense claims to delay as much as possible until the next election, where the commission will no longer exist. At least that's their hope. But because it's such a long way away, the courts are likely going to be the avenue for getting these documents and for demanding Bannon and Trump, maybe even Trump, testifying before the commission and being held to account for their actions regarding January 6th. And if there's any justice in the world, they'll actually be forced to admit what we already knew, that they incited this thing and that they were more than willing to overthrow our democracy to achieve power. And if that is revealed, and if that actually is like confirmed, every single one involved should face charges and should go to jail. January 6th has to be a moment of recognition. There has to be a moment where some serious consequences are actually put forward instead of people just ranting about it and speeches and things like this. Some serious legal action is required here. In culture war news, the Justice Department has issued warnings about potential violence at school board meetings. In her testimony on Tuesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco defended the department's attempts to coordinate with state and local governments to help defend school board meetings from threats from activists. This came after Attorney General Merrick Garland issued a memo instructing FBI operatives to meet with state police departments across the country. Their goal was to discuss strategies to prevent violence against public educators. This comes in part due to rising fury by right-wing activists and media pundits who have convinced some people that the education system is indoctrinating students through critical race theory, with several threats being made at various officials. Now, there is no evidence that there is some mass indoctrination occurring. What is happening is that elements of history are being re-examined as more evidence comes forward and as historians learn more about our history of racism and examines it in ways that were previously not acknowledged. It is also worth noting that critical race theory is a grad school level theory and is primarily concerned with the law. It is not taught on an elementary or even standard level. At most, a person is only going to come into contact with it if they're in a sociology class or in some form of social science in a bachelor's level. It also would have to be directly related to that subject or auxiliary to that subject, meaning you would have to have some sort of skill set that would be taught about that is related to critical race theory, nothing more. But more than that, the issue of threats and attacks on educators is part of a larger attempt to anger Americans with lies and nonsense. If they can get Americans to believe that there is a major threat to our country and our education system, then they can get people to react in the worst possible ways. We think of this world differently than we did before, and unfortunately, that comes with people lying or misrepresenting what is actually happening to create violence or to stir up a voter base. All I ask from you is to consider what people want when they try to get you this angry, when they try to make these appeals to protecting the children and whatnot. When they tell you that someone is indoctrinating your kids or anything like that, ask yourself what they get out of that. Because if they can motivate people to make threats, as some of these activists have, then chances are the people who are motivating them to do that in the first place aren't trying to protect children. They're trying to get to parents who will fight. People who will get angry for no real reason. And that is the issue. They're not coming for your kids. They're not trying to protect your kids. They're not trying to do anything with your kids except what it means to you as a voter or as a member of the society. They're trying to manipulate you into fighting for something that you otherwise would not. And speaking of bad actors, we now turn to Ron DeSantis. Politico reported on Thursday that Ron DeSantis is threatening to sue the Biden administration over his vaccine mandates. In a speech, DeSantis said, "Let's not have Biden come in and effectively take away, threaten to take away, the jobs of people who have been working hard throughout this entire pandemic," end quote. The statement has not been followed up with any action so far, but it is yet another source of conflict between DeSantis and President Biden. Previously, the Biden administration undermined DeSantis' attempt to remove mask mandates when he provided $500,000 to school officials after DeSantis attempted to deny funding to schools who refused to comply with his mask mandate prohibition. Recently, the Florida Health Department has issued a $3.5 million fine against Leon County for requiring vaccinations for its workers, and that's all under DeSantis' rule. Now, I don't know if this will go through. I don't know if DeSantis will actually follow up with this. But what drives me nuts is that DeSantis is the same guy who will consistently demand Biden to do something about the pandemic, but will also refuse to take any responsibility for what happens when he opposes the very thing Biden wants to do. There is a certain percentage of Republicans who refuse to do what is necessary and who will act as if the Democrats are to blame for the current state of things when many of the most basic proposals have been shot down by Republican leadership across this country, even though it would undeniably help our country. And this is something that I think really needs to be emphasized. This is not a both sides issue. There are problems with the Democratic Party, sure, but at least in the middle of a pandemic that has killed 720,000 Americans, Democrats were willing to make the sacrifices. Democrats were willing to push for what was necessary. And instead, we've got people like DeSantis who will lie through their teeth about the needs for these things. They will downplay the severity of COVID and pretend like the pandemic's over. And they will continue to pretend that the pandemic is over, even as the bodies stack up. These are the same guys who will go all in about how great the vaccine was and how Biden just took advantage of Trump's success. But when it comes to actually getting shots into people's arms, they will not do what is necessary. They will continue to pretend like there's no measure that the government can take anymore that is acceptable, even after the bodies start dropping in a larger scale than we had to deal with before. We are nowhere near where we need to be in terms of herd immunity, and it is high time we start accepting that reality. We are far from over with this pandemic, and the pandemic is far from over with us. So when you hear someone like Ron DeSantis talking about the government coming for your liberties, ask them what liberty allows them to infect the American public, and what liberty allows them to hold us in this horrible, horrible state for so long. If anything, vaccination, mask mandates, and social distancing are the only ways we can liberate ourselves from this pandemic. And I want people to remember that reality when they go and vote, when they have to go into the midterms and wonder who they're going to vote for. Remember which party refused to do what is necessary to protect our most vulnerable citizens in a time of crisis. Remember which party kept lambasting our administration with lies and conspiracy theories about COVID-19 while also ignoring the death around them in their own states. That is something that should be always considered from this point on. In more positive news, an independent advisory board has officially recommended booster shots for people who have received the Moderna vaccine. Now, the recommendation is going to be considered by other FDA officials, and an advisory board will meet and from there decide a schedule for the booster shot. The Biden administration has pushed this, despite some hesitation from officials, because they hope to prevent a rise in cases with the coming winter. As more people go inside, they will be more compact with one another and therefore be more likely to be infected. So it makes sense that Biden is trying to push for this. But the reason I bring this up is because I received the Moderna vaccine. I'm fully vaccinated. And as much as I'm happy to have this, and I'm happy to see that we will probably have a third shot to help support what I've already got and what many others already have, I do think we need to be honest about these booster shots for a moment. The booster shots are only going to likely be received by people who have already been vaccinated, meaning that if you are vaccinated, you are already convinced of the effectiveness of the vaccine in the first place. But if you're one of those people who have not been vaccinated because of conspiracy theories or some other reason, chances are you're not going to benefit from this booster shot, and it's not going to get us closer to herd immunity. The issue for me is not so much to downplay the importance of these booster shots, because from my perspective, I think everybody who's been vaccinated should get a booster shot once it's approved by the FDA. But rather to point out that we really need to start focusing on making people who are unwilling to get vaccinated to actually receive it anyway. The booster shot is not a replacement for increased vaccination rates. It's just a means to protect people who are already vaccinated even more than they already were. If anything, it's probably a good thing to have this in our back pocket, just in case these people who refuse to get vaccinated cause a mutation that could actually cause a problem. Still, I'm happy to see that the scientists are progressing in their work, and we're going to likely see a booster shot that'll protect us even more from this deadly pandemic. Once it's available to me, I'm getting it the first chance I get, and I hope you'll do the same. That's all for this week's episode. Thank you all for joining me. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it on social media with your friends and family. If you want to see more content outside of the podcast, consider checking out the website. It is www.progressive-american.com. All of my content is there, including this podcast, my YouTube, and the newsletter. If you want to see all my content or talk to me directly, you can comment there. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.